Pat and I will just introduce ourselves really quickly. As I said, my name's Adam Burgess. I'm a first-year MBA here at Haas on the full-time program. I came to Haas from New York City, although I'm originally from the UK. In New York, I worked for the last 7 years in forensic accounting and litigation consulting. So a kind of finance-related industry, although certainly not kind of a pure investment banking or other kind of true finance role. I had taken the CFA before getting to Haas, and so later on, I think we had a question submitted around academic resources that are available to you. And one thing we'll touch on is the process for waiving some of the core classes if you do have a finance background. So the CFA is one way you can do that. This summer, I'm going to be interning at an investment bank in San Francisco called Moelis & Company. They're an M&A boutique. I'm going to be focused on their technology practice within their technology practice. And so I can answer any questions that people have around investment banking recruiting specifically. I'll hand it over to Pat for him to give his background.
All right, great. Thanks, Adam. I hope everyone can hear me as well. So my background, I came from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Originally, I did my undergrad at the University of New Mexico, and then immediately prior to Haas, I was working at a mutual fund manager called Thornburg Investment Management. They were based in Santa Fe, New Mexico. At Thornburg, I was doing institutional sales. So I was traveling primarily in the Midwest, trying to raise assets for Thornburg's investment products. I came to Haas to make a transition to do buy side or mutual fund equity research. So this summer, I will be interning at a company called Parnassus Investments, which is a mutual fund manager here in the Bay Area. I'll be doing bottom-up equity research. Similar to Adam, I also did the CFA before coming to school. So again, we can touch on sort of waiving classes, what that allows you to do. But yeah, I just want to thank everyone for taking the time to chat with us today. And yeah, hopefully we can get all.
Great. So we had a couple of questions submitted ahead of time. So what we'll probably do is start off by addressing at least some of those. But if you have any questions at any time during this chat, please just use the chat functionality within either the app if you're on a smart, you know, a device, or it should just be there on the screen if you're on a laptop. And then we'll run through those questions as they come up as well. So the first question that I'm going to address is around transitioning from a non-finance background into one of the finance disciplines that you might want to go into here at Haas, and just some of the resources that are available for you. So I think that there's basically three broad areas there. So we have our career management group, CMG. We have the academic program and obviously the professors through that program. And then we have kind of clubs and other student-run initiatives. So I'll just touch briefly on each of those. So, and there's definitely overlaps between all of those as well. So CMG organize a pretty rigorous program. So I'll talk mainly to investment banking, and then Pat might have a couple of things to add from the investment management space. But from investment banking perspective, the recruiting process is fairly formalized, and it starts fairly early when you get on campus. So we have a series in the fall semester of speakers that come onto campus from bulge brackets, middle market firms, boutiques, to talk to us about their practice. It's mainly focused on their Bay Area recruiting, but there is recruiting that goes on in, as well for New York and other cities, and we can talk about that later. So there's the on-campus component where firms come on campus. There's then kind of like the home and away. We like do the return trip. We go into each of the bank's offices, get a pretty similar presentation, but then really the value is talking to the people that they bring out. And there's just a lot more people all the way from MD right the way down to analysts and everything in between. And it's just an opportunity for you to chat with people, answer, have any questions answered that you have, and just sort of get a feel for the kind of the culture and the office that you might be working in over the summer. And then the final part is from a recruiting perspective is kind of going and going and just one-on-one grabbing cups of coffee or whatever it might be with representatives from those different banks. And again, that's just a way for you to get to know the people. The academic program, particularly in the fall, is focused predominantly on the core curriculum. So there is a finance core class and an accounting core class, both of which obviously are really relevant to finance jobs. In addition to that, there are a ton of electives that you can take. And depending on which core classes you may or may not waive, you can pick up electives as early as the fall semester. And so just to touch real quickly on the waiver process there, if you just go online and just Google Haas core class waivers, there is a lot of detail around which classes can be waived and what the automatic waiver criteria are. Automatic waiver means you may have some credential that will allow you to not have to take the waiver exam to waive out of a test. So as Pat and I said, the CFA allows you to automatically waive out of both finance, core finance and core accounting. But any core class that can be waived can also just be waived through taking a test. So if you just figure, I think I know a bit about core finance or core accounting from maybe an undergrad degree or something like that, you can brush up over the summer, take the test. It's right when you get onto campus, and then you'll waive those classes, and you can replace them with electives if you want. And then the final group was the kind of student-led initiatives. We have a load of different speaker series that are focused on everything from investment banking, private equity, investment management. And those are slightly more informal ways of interacting with either alums or current students or just speakers from the area that they focus on. And that way you get to know people through that as well. Pat, you want to add anything there?
Yeah, so I think you touched on most of it. Couple things I'll add from the investment management side of things. I think the recruiting process is a little different than banking. And I think that this, to some extent, will speak to private equity or venture capital, if anyone is interested in those spaces. I think relative to banking, those three areas in particular are a little less structured and probably a little more driven by students. And I think venture capital or private equity is probably the most sort of network driven. You kind of have to use your own connections and kind of network your way into a position. There's less formal recruiting in those spaces, I think, that goes on. Investment management, I can speak to more. Most of my recruiting was done through CMG, which it sounds like was similar to Adam's experience. A fair number of companies posted internship opportunities online, and then it was a fairly straightforward first round interview. And if you made it through that, then you went to a second round interview, which was typically an on-site finals, final super day type of interview where you interview with 9 or 10 people at the company's headquarters. So I think, resource wise, I would say that Haas did a great job of having plenty of firms come to campus, post on the job board. So I think that there was really good support there. I think, on the academic side, Adam touched on most of it. The only other thing I would mention is, in addition to the CFA, if you're a CPA, you can also waive core accounting. You can't waive the finance component, but you can't automatically waive the accounting piece or the core accounting class. And then finally, I would just reiterate on Adam's points about the speaker series and the networking opportunities. I think neither of us have found any shortage of opportunities since coming here to network with people in the industry, whether that's through a speaker series where we have industry speakers come in and talk to us and spend time afterwards answering questions, or leveraging the people in CMG's LinkedIn connections. Everyone I've worked with here at Haas has been more than happy to share their Rolodex, if you will. I think in general, we've both had a great amount of support in our recruiting app. And then let's see what the next question is here. Sorry, bear with us. So the next question is around what classes you can take throughout our study that are maybe outside of the typical business school courses or electives. I have not yet taken any classes that are outside of Haas, but you can definitely do so. I have friends who have taken law school classes. I know people who have taken classes in the MFE program, which is the Masters of Financial Engineering. So there is flexibility to take courses outside of the Haas course load. And you do get credits for those courses that can count towards graduation. So yeah, I would say, you know, if there is a class you're interested in, regardless of sort of the school it's in, you can typically register and get credit for those courses. Do you have anything to add there, Adam? Okay.
Yeah, so I think there were some specific questions that came through. I know that there's some people that have joined this chat since we started. So just to maybe repeat kind of the housekeeping that we set up top, if you could submit any questions that you have today through the chat functionality, we'll look at those. And obviously, if we go quiet, just feel free to unmute your line and just ask a question if that's easier as well. Okay, so I think, so they had a question around some of the venture capital opportunities in the Bay. It's a great question, obviously one that a lot of people have, obviously Berkeley being such an entrepreneurial place, and the Bay Area in general being such an entrepreneurial place. I think the thing with the venture capital opportunities is that there's two things. One, those opportunities tend to come up a little later on in the program. So both Pat and I were talking about the fairly structured recruiting pipeline for both investment banking and investment management. That's just because those firms know way ahead of time that they have spots that they want to fill, and they can go ahead and start recruiting for those positions as soon as people get on campus in the fall. The venture capital shops tend not to know as far ahead of time whether or not they'll want a summer intern. And so a lot of the recruiting for that is done much later on in the process. And then the kind of the second thing, which is a related point, is that because it's done so much later, there's a lot more impetus that kind of falls on the students themselves to drive those introductions and negotiate themselves into positions. So it's definitely doable. There are people each year that will get spots at venture capital firms, but I think just a little bit more of the onus falls on the individual to both drive the conversation with the shops, and then also kind of just justify why it should be them over people who I'm sure will be interested in those positions from all over the country.
Yeah, I would just echo all of that. I think I touched on all the highlights there. I think the key thing around VC recruiting is just, yeah, it's a much less structured process relative to traditional banking or investment management. And again, that's just because a lot of these firms are smaller, maybe don't know what their needs are. So it is more just in time as far as recruiting goes. But yeah, absolutely, there are people who do it. There are a number of people interested in it, and every year at least a handful of people go into VC. Had a couple of questions come in over chat. Maybe I'll take this one. It's thanks for doing this. Would you suggest testing out of as many classes as possible, or any particularly useful? Yeah, great question. I think for me, I tested out of both finance and accounting, and also the introductory stats class that we have. I think there are people who do it either way. I know people who had a CPA or a CFA but chose to take those classes. I think it really depends on what, if you feel like you need to brush up on those skills. I mean, I think, you know, for me in particular, I had done the CFA fairly recently and felt like a lot of the stuff we were covering was still pretty fresh. Someone had done it, those classes. You know, I think the other side of the coin is you have to balance waiving those classes with finding other classes. So if you waive classes, important to note, you do need to make up those credits. So I think if there are classes that you're really interested in taking and you can get into, it's probably worth waiving the classes and getting into those classes you're more interested in. But again, it's a personal choice, just depending on if you feel like you need to take the classes. There's other things you might be interested in, how you want to handle making up credits.
Yeah, I think there's two things I'd add there, Pat. I completely agree with everything, and I waived as much as I possibly could. I think two things to add is that I suppose it's three. One, like for the industries where recruiting is really heavy in the fall, so I'm thinking most of the finance industries, but also consulting, if anyone's kind of toying between finance and consulting, there is an advantage to waiving and not replacing those classes in the fall semester, because it frees up so much more of your time to prep for interviews, cases, just go and meet more people, do more networking. That's kind of what I did. Obviously, the squeeze there is that you have to make up those credits much later. And so it'll mean that you're going to have a busier second semester and then into your second year. What was the second thing I was going to say? Oh, yeah. Then the other reason that people might want to stay in the core classes is all your core classes are taught as a cohort. So when you get onto campus, each of you will be assigned to a cohort, one of four cohorts, and you take all of your core classes in fall semester with that cohort. And so they become kind of like your immediate friendship group, your immediate support network. And so there is definitely something to be gained from having a fuller suite of classes with that same group of people. I never felt that I didn't know people in my cohort, but there were definitely some relationships that developed a little bit more fully just because people didn't wave out of some of the core classes. Having said all of that, my advice would still be wave as much as you can, because I think so much of the value of the MBA is in the elective classes. And so you'll be able to pick up some much more interesting classes if you wave out of the if not all of the core that you can. We had another question come in. So someone mentioned, I mentioned in my introduction that I'm going to be focused on an investment bank's tech practice, and so just understanding the interest and background in finance and hustle electives being in the Valley and how that added to the career choice. So I think it's a great point. So a lot of, particularly from banking, from the banking perspective, the focus of banks in the Bay Area is on attracting talent into their technology groups. They're obviously looking to hire first and foremost, just good people. And so they are generally happy to make an introduction to, whatever group in New York, or it might be an oil and gas group that lives somewhere in Texas or something like that. They'll definitely facilitate those introductions. But then again, it's kind of on you to then keep that conversation going and have that and kind of have that drive to see that through into a successful internship. If you are interested in going into a technology practice, then it's much easier to do that because of our physical proximity to both San Francisco, but also banks in the South Bay. They're all no more than maybe an hour or an hour and a half on the train or a drive. And so it's just, it's physically easier to go and meet with those banks and therefore to build up a network with those groups. But that's certainly not to say there are plenty of people, I can think of at least half a dozen in our class who have secured internships in New York in non-tech groups for this coming summer. So it's doable. Again, it just kind of falls on you a little bit more.
Yeah, I would just echo all of that. From the investment management side, I would say there are a number of tech-focused hedge funds in the area, I think, as a result of just being here near Silicon Valley. And again, I would echo all of that for venture capital as well. I mean, I think the network is huge, the access is huge, and yeah, to Adam's point, just physically being here makes the recruiting effort a lot easier because you can, hop on a train, go into the city, take a 45-minute ride down to Palo Alto or, the South Bay, and you can be, physically where all these companies are, which is a huge advantage.
Great. We had so someone, I think, joined just a couple of minutes late. So we had a question around staying in the Bay Area versus leaving to go elsewhere in the U.S. and abroad. So I think we kind of just touched on there the topic of going elsewhere in the U.S. Yes, it's doable, but you have to just do a little bit more legwork yourself. In terms of going abroad, again, that is doable, but the network gets kind of slightly smaller again when you go beyond the U.S. And so I think that the chances of kind of securing the MBA internship, elsewhere in the world outside of the U.S., it's definitely doable, but it's just that much more difficult because there isn't as strong of an alumni network. There's probably far fewer either current students or alums that either have worked there or are currently working there. And so I just think it probably relies a little bit more on an established network that the student themselves has, rather than anything that Haas can do to facilitate an introduction. Now, that said, there are experts in all of these regions kind of around the world. And so if you manage to get an interview at Chilean investment bank or whatever it might be, there's probably either a student or a member of the career management group that will be able to coach you up for, you know, what an interview for that type of role in that country might be like. Pat, what do we have in terms of other questions coming in?
So maybe we can touch on, someone missed the intro on recruiting out, coming from outside of finance and recruiting into it. I think just to reiterate, we did touch on this, but we would, I think, both say it is doable. Haas, I think, has a lot of resources in place to help with recruiting. Adam and I came from related backgrounds to what we wanted to do in finance, but not necessarily exactly what we wanted to do. And I think we both were able to leverage both the career management group, the alumni network, and our coursework to make that transition. So yes, you very much can make the transition from outside of finance. It might be a bit more of a lift, but it is very doable. Another question that came in is around the sort of combination of green or sustainability with finance. Haas is absolutely a leader in this space. We have, just for example, the largest student-run investment fund that is socially responsible. There are a lot of resources around sort of doing sustainable investing, particularly on the investment management side. Adam can touch on banking. I'm less familiar there. A lot of people come to Haas and want to pursue sort of that intersection of sustainability and finance. It is a very much a growing area of interest in the finance community, sort of making that connection. I know a handful of people who have pursued that. And I think largely experiences have been good. I, for one, am going to a socially responsible mutual fund company. So all their investments are both with the idea of achieving financial performance, but also having a positive impact. I know there are a number of people who are recruiting to what's referred to as impact investing, which is maybe a little more on the private side. People do it. I think broadly, the experience has been positive. I think the challenge is that the recruiting pipeline is a little less defined. There's just fewer firms who are focused on it. It might be a little harder, but I think if you're interested in that, Haas certainly provides a lot of opportunities to pursue that.
Awesome. Yeah. And there is probably less of a focus on sustainability or kind of green technology or green investments when it comes to people who are going into investment banking. Although I'll just say, obviously investment banks do tend to carve out their own sort of sub niche within technology if you're focused in the Bay Area. And so there were definitely times when a couple of investments or transactions came up in talking to some of the investment banks that I was recruiting for that definitely played towards a sustainability angle. And so it probably is slightly less highlighted than it would be in investment management or directly within other investing areas. But there are little gems in there as well. One question that we had submitted ahead of time that I haven't answered yet is around which electives did we find most interesting. In today's world, investors need to be industry experts more than ever. So what non-finance courses have you found to be most valuable? I'll just give one example. I'm taking a class right now. I'm sure that the description of the class is on the Haas website. If not, then follow up with me and I can send you a description. It's called Organizational Moonshots. It's a really kind of really cool class. It's only in its second year. The professor, Henry Chesbrough, he's kind of known as the father of what's known as open innovation. And so moonshots are these ideas that you strive for something that seems like initially almost unachievable. But through kind of dedication and through determination, you get to the point of achieving the goal. So the original moonshot was JFK's challenge to the US to get to the moon by the end of the decade in the early 60s. And so we've had people on campus that have come to speak from us from lots of different isolated examples of moonshot organizations. So we had someone from Google X, someone from DARPA, which is the US Defense Department's sort of strategic research arm, from the Gates Foundation, someone who worked within the White House, and we've got a number of other people coming to speak to us. And the whole class is around trying to find commonalities in these organizations that are achieving really, really incredible things. And I found that to be really, really, really kind of both inspirational, but just really fascinating and interesting. And I think that that'll be kind of a good kind of thought process to take into later life, even if the lessons aren't directly applicable to investment banking, as obviously they won't be. Pat, I'm not sure if you've got any good examples of non-finance classes that you've taken.
Probably not as good as that one. I kind of want to take that class now. Largely my electives have been finance centric. I think one of the classes I really appreciated though in the first semester, which wasn't a finance class, it's a core class called Leading People. Not at all a finance class, obviously. It's sort of a broad, I would call it like a leadership class. And it basically covers sort of a different topic of challenges you might face as a business leader. So it's, you know, things like negotiating salaries, you know, how to deal with conflict in the workplace, how to tackle diversity issues in your workplace. So it's really broad, but I think, you know, generally it was just a very good discussion-based course on, you know, different challenges that business leaders face. And I think as we're all, you know, I planning to go into a management or leadership type of role, it was just a really good way to sort of get into the mind frame of how to think about these problems. The professor did a really good job of engaging students in discussion. So yeah, it was just a really good class to kind of, you know, get outside of my comfort zone being in finance in the past. And you know, I think in talking to people in the industry, some of the most valuable classes are those ones that are less technical, but more helping you develop the soft skills. So I think that was probably one I would point to.
So I think we think we've answered any questions that either came in advance or have come through on chat. Is there anyone who, I mean, rather than typing them in, if anyone has a question now, feel free to unmute your line and just ask a question, and we'll do our best to answer it. If not, then I presume that our contact information was shared with everybody in advance. I guess there's no way to. Is there anyone who, Lorenzo, I can see you're at least on camera. Can you nod your head if our contact information was shared with you guys ahead of time? It was not. Okay. So if everyone who wants our contact information just looks at the chat link, we'll put our email addresses on there. If anybody has follow-up questions that either you don't want to ask in a bigger group or that you just kind of haven't thought of at the time and want to follow up with afterwards, then feel free to send either of us an email. And we can try and follow up with you as quickly as possible. But I guess just like one more opportunity, and if not, we'll close the meeting. So feel free to speak up. It's great. Okay. All right. Well, we'll close the meeting, guys. It really was a pleasure talking to everybody. Please don't shy away from asking questions. If you do have them, we'll definitely do our best to either answer them ourselves or to connect you with the right person. Great to talk to you, and hopefully see you all in the fall. Thanks a lot.